Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Simmons Bank Open for the Snedeker Foundation at the Grove in Arrington. Caroline Fenton is here. Ian is here. And I've got, today was a good energy day, Now I'm fired up. I'm fired up at Crispy. I'm fired up at Caroline Fenton.
Fine, be mad.
I'm a little fired up at Ian. I actually don't know whose side Ian's on this, if you're just joining us. Matt Duchesne benched last night by John Hines in the third period. Crispy totally for it, saying, hey, this team can win without you giving your 100% effort. Happy about it. You know, good for John Hines. Caroline backs him. I just say be careful. Guy's got 5 years and whatever, 5 years, $40 million left. He's got a 7-team no trade starting in 23, so I'm not really worried about that. I'm just not sure you can get rid of him with 5 years and $40 million left on that contract with an $8 million cap hit and a stagnant cap given the pandemic. So you just don't want to do that. You just don't want to do that to a guy, that can, quite frankly, has more job security than you do. And we've seen it all the time in sports. Guys don't like their way. They want to get their way out, can tear a locker room apart. And even though I am not condemning Matt Duchesne, let me say this. I am not pointing my finger at Matt Duchesne and saying that he is a coach killer. I am not saying that he is a bad locker room guy. I am not saying that he doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt here. But there was a lot of discussion about when he was unhappy in Colorado and what that did to the team. And we all know how much better they played the second he left. So I am just putting that into evidence as we lay it all out. We have a bunch of phones on this, calls and texts. You have a thought or you want to go to the phones?
To the phones.
Phones we go. 615-737-1025. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ellie is going to kick us off this hour. He's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Ellie.
Yeah. The Predators let up 6 goals against the Columbus Blue Jackets when the goaltender was in. Matt Duchesne and Ryan Ellis, because it directly and indirectly caused those goals. You cannot do that in the playoffs. You expect to win in the playoffs. Ryan Ellis scored a goal for the team, set up a screen for a goal to be done, and played no defense in another play. Duchesne made a stupid play in the first period, and in the second period, with less than a minute, did not set up a screen for Saros. You cannot do it. In the third goal, Ryan Ellis could have easily cleared a puck. You cannot do it if you're going to win in the playoffs. And if you're not going to be part of the solution, then you shouldn't be there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellie. You have no choice on Matt Duchesne. You signed him. I get the idea of, hey, Matt Duchesne's not going to, he's got to go. He shouldn't be here. You signed him. You chased him for 3 years. You signed him. And you have to deal with that. The Ryan Ellis thing. This is like when we were talking about the Titans in the outside linebacker position, and how they have an injured Bud Dupree with a torn ACL on one side, and they've got Harold Landry, who proved last year that he could not play every snap. And they don't have any depth. And it's almost like the Titans don't understand. Or it's like Clowney when they signed him and everybody thought, oh yeah, Clowney's good. And you watch the games and Clowney doesn't do anything. And it's like, this guy kind of freaking sucks. And it's like, no, Jared, the next gen stats say Clowney is good and the double team variant and, all those things I don't like. Remember why I don't like analytics? Clowney's why. I can't stand it. Ryan Ellis, man, nobody, except for me apparently, nobody points a finger at him at all. And all he does is what happened last night, just sitting with his thumb, just sitting there while they circle around him and they score. And then everybody's like, oh, yeah, that was a tough one. Like, no, if that was Ryan Johansson, if that was Matt Duchesne, if that was a guy who the fans don't love, and I don't even think the fans love Ryan Ellis that much. I think it's the team has sold everybody that Ryan Ellis is really, really good when Ryan Ellis is really, really not that good. But I mean, you talk about a guy who gets no criticism. It's Ryan Ellis. And I cannot get over it. So not to go so far off the Duchesne thing, I cannot get over the lack of criticism that Ryan Ellis receives. And it's almost like it starts with the team because they bench everybody else when they don't play well. I mean, they're going to bench Matt Duchesne. He's got the most unmovable contract on the team. But they're not going to bench Ryan Ellis. And Ryan Ellis comes right back in. I'll put him right back out there on the ice. Oh, my goodness. oh, Ryan Ellis drives me insane. And then we have Howell on the show, and Howell will come on and be like, oh, Ryan Ellis, he's so great. He's this, he's that, he's this, he's that, he's that. No, Yossi is this and that and this and that, and that's he's that. Oh, my goodness. Ellis, it just – the Ellis stuff, man, it just – it jaw just grinds my gears. Oh, it grinds my gears.
You'd be nice to Howell.
Hal needs to start calling it like it is in that regard. Adam is up next here on Stillman and Company. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Adam.
I got a couple things, man. So, number one, help me understand Rocco Grimaldi. I can't understand. All right, so if you had an NBA player that scored 50 points in a game, you would not put him on the bench for the rest of the year. If a running back had 200 yards, he would not go on the bench. Why does a four-goal scorer go on the bench? He is better than Duchesne. I don't care what you say on that. And you should have known that Duchesne was that kind of player. Everything you were just naming and saying, I'm not saying he's this guy. Yes, he's absolutely that guy, man. There's a Uber video of him ripping his coach apart. You should have never signed a guy like that. He is a selfish. He's a selfish. And if he was a really good player, he could be selfish. But he's a selfish, not so good player.
So I can't go there on Duchesne. And I get it. I mean, you know, the fans are always going to want to throw that out there on certain guys and say, you know, he's a bad guy and he's a – I don't want – I mean, Matt Duchesne wasn't the only player in the Uber driver who was trashing their coach. And let's not kid ourselves about all of us in our jobs. Like, I'm sure everybody trashes somebody they work with. I mean, so I'm not going to – you know, to me, like, I'm not going to hold that against him. I'm not. The Grimaldi thing, to me, it's this with Grimaldi. He's not good enough. Like, I know he had a hat trick. A lot of people have had hat tricks. He's not the first guy to ever have it. He's just not good enough. And, I mean, he's a nice player that can give you some energy and plays hard and plays the right way, and he does the right things. And I'm not going to lose my mind if Rocco Grimaldi is in the lineup, you know, in a big game. Because what happens in the playoffs, and everybody knows this, is, you know, you win a game or you lose a game, and then after you lose a game, you want to make a lineup change. You feel like you have to make a change in order to win the next game. And Rocco may be one of the first guys off the bench that gets back into the lineup when you lose a playoff game to try and change things up, like Scott Hartnell was a couple of years ago. But, I mean, Rocco's not good enough. Like, it's like when we were talking and the Seattle beat writer for The Athletic did a mock draft of the expansion draft, and he took Rocco Grimaldi, and I was like, fine, whatever. The idea about Duchesne being selfish or Duchesne being a bad teammate or Duchesne being a bad guy, I cannot go there. And there are a couple of reasons of why I can't go there. Number one, I've interviewed Matt Duchesne. I wouldn't say we know each other well. You know, just a hey kind of thing, you know, whatever. I've never gotten the vibe that he's a bad guy. And not to say that my vibe means everything. I've always said that, you know, you never know. And if it comes out in the tomorrow in the paper that Ian does something crazy, I'm going to be like, I had no idea. I've only worked with the guy every day for the last 5.5 years, but I had no idea. No offense, Ian. I'm just using that as an example. But I know a lot of people that are close with Matt Duchesne. I don't hear that. I haven't heard that rumble from the team at any point about Matt Duchesne, like I heard it about Kevin Fiala, like I heard it about Colin Wilson, like I heard it about
Turris.
Yeah, I haven't heard that about Duchesne. Yes, I remember the Colorado situation very much so. But until I hear something like that and somebody I trust, I can't go there with you. And that's why I'm not going to do it. I'm not going there on Duchesne because I have not heard that myself. And I feel like my sourcing is pretty darn good. So I'm not, I can't do that as far as, you know, the guy's not playing well. You want to say he's a selfish guy. I don't have any evidence that proves that. What's in the text line?
Texter in the text line says, do you think Seattle would take Duchesne if we give them a first rounder and Olivier? We'll have to give them a package for taking Duchesne. That's not worth it, in my opinion.
I mean, the only option for Matt Duchesne is to get him to play better. Like, that's the option. Like, I know that people think this is crazy. It's like, oh, the idea of him playing better, that can't be a thing. We saw him play better last week than he's been playing so far. But that's it. That's your option. That is it. You're not trading away a first-round pick. You know, this goes back to the, you know, if you want to have the Poyle discussion, you can have the Poyle discussion, but clearly the Matt Duchene signing was not a good signing. But there is no answer to it right now other than he's got to start playing better. I mean, sometimes you have to say, hey, you've locked yourself in the box, and this is the box you're in, and that's the box you're in with him.
Jonathan texted in and said, I think Coach Hines is doing a great job. Holding all accountable is good for the team. Don't play favorites. He's handled it well. I'm sure Duchene will respond with a superior effort Saturday night.
You know, you hope so. I mean, that's the hope, right? Like, the idea is, hey, John Hines sat these guys on the bench, and John Hines is going to get the best effort out of these guys on Saturday. But I use the Carson Wentz example of a you don't always do that. I mean, Laviolette scratched Turris like 8 times last year, and we got to hear all about it from his wife's podcast where she broke that down and about how he wasn't as upset the second time he got benched as he was the first time he got benched. And again, you know, the Laviolette Turris thing, that's a rabbit hole now. And I would just say that I feel personally like it's wishful thinking that Duchene will automatically play super energized because he got benched.
I don't know. I think that you have two different responses to getting benched. Me personally, if my boss, if you came up to me and said, hey, I need you to step it up. We're not going to have you on the show today because you haven't performed very well. That would light a fire under my butt. And I would work my butt off to make sure that I earned that spot back that I previously lost. Or I could cause a fit and say, okay, you know, F you anyways. I don't want to be here. There's two different responses. And I agree with Donovan in saying that ideally he would have the former response at, hey, you know what? I didn't perform at the level that I was supposed to. I turned the puck over. I didn't play well. And I'm going to come out Saturday and I'm going to get done what this team needs to get done because I want my team to be in the playoffs. Because you can pout all you want. You're not getting to the playoffs if you pout.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, I don't know Matt Duchene well enough to know what exactly his response is going to be.
I guess we'll see.
And, you know, I mean, there were a lot of people and I keep going back to Carson Wentz because it's on my mind, but there were a lot of people with the Eagles that were like, you know, hey, Carson Wentz, all these stories came out that Carson Wentz was a bad teammate. And the Eagles kept fighting back on those. Like, oh, these unnamed sources, what are they talking about? They don't know. And then another unnamed source would come out and say, the players like Foles more than they like Wentz. And it'd be like, unnamed sources, I don't trust any of this. That's all garbage. And then Carson Wentz got benched. And all of a sudden, once he got benched, the coach had to go. And then once the coach did go, he still didn't want to come back to the team. I mean, give me a break. Like, that confirms everything that had been reported with those unnamed sources. That confirms everything about Carson Wentz. I don't want that guy on my team. That's why I celebrated when the Indianapolis Colts traded for him, because I think there's a chance he acts the same way. But and I can't tell you how Matt Duchene will react because I don't know Matt Duchene well enough, but I'm not going to say that he's going to act the bad way. I'm not going to say, I think Hines handled it well. Clearly, this is a behind closed doors thing because Hines brushed it off both times, both after the game when he was asked about it and with Robbie and Rexro this morning when he was asked about it. He brushed it off, and I think that was probably a good play on his part. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll hit the headlines with Caroline coming up next. Stillman & Company is live from the Simmons Bank Open for the Stedeker Foundation right here in Arrington. 615-737-1025 is our phone number here on Stillman & Company. Let me tell the fine folks out there that ESPN 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from ESPN 102.5 The Game and from T-Mobile. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. I don't know if this is public news or not. Like, I don't have a press release saying it, which would be something that you would normally want, like a press release to announce something like this. But I mean, if you say it to season ticket holders, you're saying it to everybody, right?
I guess so.
Okay.
So is it a Preds release?
It is for season ticket holders, at least. I don't know. Again, I'm a season ticket holder and I got the email,
Flex.
But I didn't get the press release email.
Mm-hmm.
So, but The Predators,
go for it.
The Predators in the season ticket holder email say that they're excited to announce that they're going to increase seating capacity at Bridgestone Arena for the 2021 Stanley Cup playoffs. So apparently that's because a lot of people followed the rules. And I know this. I'm sure that if they announce it, the governor will probably take a victory lap on that. It had nothing to do from what I have been told, that it's more about the league and the league being satisfied with the way the Predators have handled things. So that's worth noting. And imagine this. Apparently, in order to deal with all of the precautions, there are federal precautions. There are state precautions. There are local health board precautions. There are NHL precautions. I mean, it is a lot of hurdles in order for them to clear that. But apparently, they're going to have more seating for the playoffs. So there's
Smashville.
Time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So there was just the sweetest, cutest little story on Twitter last weekend, and it kind of came back up again last night. So there was a guy that tweeted at the Arizona Diamondbacks that said that his roommate was on a date at the Diamondbacks game, and the Diamondbacks were going back and forth with him, like, you know, what is he wearing? Where is he sitting? We want to find him. So they went back and forth on Twitter, and the Diamondbacks were saying, okay, it's looking good. They're laughing. And so this kind of blew up and got a ton of traction on Twitter. And the guy was like, yeah, no, I think it went well, and I think we're going to have a third date. Their third date was at an Arizona Coyotes game last night. They were wearing matching Coyotes jerseys, which I don't think that they had originally. I think the Coyotes may have set that up. But anyways, it's been very, very fun to follow this cute little love story, this cute little Arizona sports love story on Twitter.
Yeah, I think the Atlanta Hawks had a Tinder night, like when Tinder first came out, and two people met the Atlanta Hawks had a Tinder night, and two people met, and they ended up getting married. So
that's
the Atlanta
so cute.
Hawks ended up paying for them to have the reception at Phillips Arena where they met. And I think the Hawks kind of footed the bill because they met at the Tinder night that the Atlanta Hawks had. So, all for this. I will say this, in my past life, I was very much a serial Nashville sports dater. So Titans games, Preds games, Sounds games. Let me say this. There is nothing. Single guys out there, the Nashville Sounds game is the best bargain for your dollar first date that you can go on because the stadium's nice, the atmosphere's fun, you know, it's nice, it's outside, it's warm weather, you got the band box, you got the berm, the Sounds game. I'm not here to do a commercial for the Sounds, but I'm just saying, So as somebody who has been through that in their life, I would say that I think sporting events, especially if you're me, like if you're on like a first date to a sporting event, like if you're not going to be able to do the sporting event, like if you're like, the sport's not really my thing, it's probably not going to work out.
Exactly. And I think that's the perfect first date because if you don't have anything to talk about, you have an entire game going on in front of you that you can talk about. And I'm just a big ballpark food fan.
Mm-hmm.
Hot dogs, nachos, pretzels. Cannot watch a baseball game without peanuts. So I think it's a good first date. You got something to talk about, especially if it's nice outside. And it's a cheap date. I mean, you can get bargain tickets and a hot dog, and I'm totally fine.
I don't know if you got, Ian, I don't know if you remember this, or I don't know if I told you this, but at one point in time, I was going out, so we'd gone on like a couple dates. And we were going out on like a third date, or we had talked about going out on a third date. And while I'm on the air, she texts me and she's like, hey, like, I think you're a great guy, but I just don't, you know, see us clicking. I just don't think it's going to work.
On the air?
Well, she didn't, like, call into the show and say that.
Well,
but she, like, texted my phone while
so
I was
bad.
On the air.
But still.
I'm pretty sure Ian would remember that if that had happened while it was, you know, if she had called in. But so she says this, and I had said, like, you want to go to the Sounds game that night? And we ended up going to this, and I was like, just go to the game. So we ended up going to the Sounds game, and she had a great time, and we were together for a little bit longer than that. So, again, not here to sit here and do an infomercial for why you should go to the Sounds games on dates, but I'm just saying, what's next?
Take notes, friends. So Aaron Rodgers, former Green Bay fullback John Kuhn, he's a very, very close friend of Aaron Rodgers. He spoke with CBS Sports just to kind of give a little bit of context in regards to the situation. He said he didn't want to divulge too much information, but he said that Aaron Rodgers is conflicted because this man loves to play the game of football and this man loves to be a Green Bay Packer. I don't know if I necessarily agree with all of that, but he said he's watched friends leave. He watched Brett Favre's career towards the end. He watched all these things play out in front of his eyes, and he's taken notes throughout his career. He's seen some situations that didn't feel were done or finished the way that they could or should have. He said, I think it's still somewhere around 70 to 75% that Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback for the Packers this year. Now, all of this that his good close friend is saying contradicts, I feel like, everything that I've heard from Aaron Rodgers himself, all these stories coming out about Aaron Rodgers, that he said, I will not be in Green Bay next year. He said, I'm sick of this organization. He compared the GM of the Packers to Jerry Krause, who is perceived as a villain in terms of a GM of a professional sports team.
Sure.
So I just don't really know who to believe. I feel like there has been so much back and forth about, oh, no, Aaron will be a Packer. Oh, no, just kidding. No, he won't.
So I think the thing to deal with when it comes to the Aaron Rodgers situation is we have to know the certainties here. There's a lot of unknowns about Aaron and the Packers.
And a lot of rumors and gossip.
What, oh, yeah. Oh, it's total gossip. But Aaron likes that, I think.
I think he does.
So here's what I know. I know Aaron loves being a Packer. Aaron loves your... Oh, Aaron
no,
loves Aaron, okay? Forget about anything else. Aaron loves Aaron, and I think we know that. You know, like, it's been well established. The second thing is, I don't think Aaron's given $40 million back. And I think that's how much, if he were to retire, that's how much money Aaron would have to give back to the Packers.
If not more. So maybe around 44.
I don't think he's given $40 million back. Now, the Jeopardy thing is intriguing because Jeopardy pays a lot of money. I mean, Jeopardy is one of the most watched television shows in America. And I can see this. You know how we have, like, coaches' buyouts?
Mm-hmm.
Where a coach, you know, it'll cost $10 million for Alabama to hire Wichita State's coach. And every time the Power Five school's like, no problem, we'll hire a coach. No problem, we got it. Jeopardy makes so much freaking money. And I think his ratings were the highest. I wonder if that's the way out for Aaron, is if Jeopardy is willing to pay the money back.
I think Jeopardy would pay $40 million to get Aaron Rodgers.
Do you know how much money Jeopardy makes?
I don't, actually.
Like, Judge Judy,
finances.
Judge Judy makes less money than Jeopardy, and Judge Judy owns that corporation that has the Judge Judy show. Judge Judy makes, like, $58 million a year.
So they're going to spend, I mean, I would say, okay, let's say half of their yearly income just to get Aaron Rodgers to come? Just to pay out his contract?
Would you do it?
In addition to his salary?
Would you do it if you were getting the next Alex Trebek? So if Aaron, and I didn't watch Jeopardy when Aaron was on, and honestly, I'm not much of a Jeopardy guy. But if Aaron is so good at Jeopardy, I saw the ratings went down with Anderson Cooper. And I think the highest ratings have been Aaron's ratings. And with Aaron hosting Jeopardy, you legitimately have a superstar hosting that show. If Aaron, let's just say Aaron is the next Alex Trebek, which is a big step for me to say, considering that I've never actually watched him do it. If Aaron's the next Alex Trebek, would you not pay, let's say Jeopardy makes $60, $70 million a year. Would you not pay $44 million in order to get the next Alex Trebek?
I guess I would.
So
if you're guaranteeing ratings, but I guess this kind of goes back to our Titans and Aaron Rodgers conversation yesterday. Are you willing to give up Ryan Tannehill and two first round picks to get Aaron Rodgers, who may or may not be the next Super Bowl champion for the Tennessee Titans?
There's a shelf
Jeopardy's
life on
doing
Aaron
the
for
same
that.
Thing. Right. And there's no shelf life on Jeopardy. So that's why I'm saying, if I was Jeopardy, you know, you're having him for the rest of his life, I guess. So, yes, I would be willing to make that investment, which is why I would not be willing to make that investment for the Titans. You're giving up too much to have too little.
That's the wild card here.
Right.
That's the wild card, because if Jeopardy won't pay it, then I think Aaron has to go back to Green Bay, because Green Bay gave him too much money up front. And he's not giving any money back. So that's the thing to watch here on the Aaron Rodgers saga. The other thing is, you know, is Green Bay just better off just cutting bait? I mean, that's
it's
the
just,
other
there's
part
so much
of it
drama is. Around it. And if he does come back to Green Bay next year, he's already said he doesn't want to be there. So I don't know if I necessarily want my starting quarterback to be someone who's already said, look, I don't want to be a part of this organization anymore.
We just spent 30 minutes talking about Matt Duchene. And we spent 30 minutes talking about, you know, is he going to feel slighted by being benched by the coach? I think Aaron is a perfect example of the idea of, like, dude, you know what? You're a professional athlete. You need to give it your all. You got benched. Go out. Aaron.
I think Aaron Rodgers is too far gone with the Packers. This has just been going on for way too long. The Matt Duchene thing, you know, I think this Aaron Rodgers situation is the Matt Duchene situation, but like times a million.
Sure. Times 44.
Okay.
44 million.
Exactly. 44 million.
What's next?
The Los Angeles Angels are releasing future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols.
I saw that
today. Yes, my childhood hero, Albert Pujols. I absolutely loved him. I had his Dominican Republic jersey. I had his Cardinals jersey. Absolutely loved him as a kid. Can we go ahead and assume that Albert Pujols is going to retire? He's 41 years old. He's finished out his 10-year, $253 million contract, which that baseball money just hits different. Do we think he's going to retire?
Yeah, he's probably going to retire.
Yeah.
Good teams. You know, the well-run organizations in sports, they don't give out those kind of contracts to guys when they know there's going to be that huge decline. Bill Belichick cuts you a year early, doesn't want to have you for a year later. The Jets, they would go pay Peyton Manning right now if Peyton said, hey, I'd like to come out and play football. That's just good organizations do certain things. Bad organizations do other things. Most organizations are in between. I think the St. Louis Cardinals read the writing on the wall and said, hey, he's our entire franchise, and he's not worth it.
And at that point, they saw, okay, you want 10 years, you're going to be too old by then, and we're not going to give you what you want.
And the Angels have something that is certainly fleeting in that sport, which is an owner who just wants to spin to win. The Mets have one now. You know, sometimes these teams are like, you know what, screw it. Spend the money to win. They did it with Pujols. They didn't win. I will say this. I had a buddy who played for the Angels, said that it was literally surreal getting on the plane, like, and being like, that's Albert Pujols. He's in the big leagues. I'm walking around like, yo, that's Albert Pujols. And he said that, boy, Albert was a great teammate, took care of a lot of guys. And so, but a Hall of Fame career, you know, was unbelievable. I think he was an 11th round pick. And as much as we talk about Brady, we don't talk about Pujols like that. But yeah, no, it's time to hang it up. Those are headlines with Caroline. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We, again, are live at the Simmons Bank Open for the Snedeker Foundation out here in Arrington at the Grove. And I do have the feeling right now that there are a lot of these people with, like, really big credentials that are kind of sitting out here looking around, walkie-talkies. I feel like they may be getting ready to call play. I think they may be a little worried about the weather situation that we perhaps may find ourselves in.
I'm getting a few texts that are saying this is going to be bad.
So, like bad, bad?
Like somebody said that this is going to be an S storm.
If only somebody had texted our group chat today and said, what about this whole weather situation? We're like, if only somebody could, you know, that would have been.
All right. Slow your roll.
I'm just saying.
We all have the weather app.
Clearly, you guys weren't using it in the text chain. Guess what season it is? Moving season. If you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. At TriStar Moving, you'll get 5-star service throughout the entire process. Everything will be taken care of, from covering floors, banisters, railings, the front door thresholds. They'll even wrap and protect all of your furniture and put all of your TVs in protected boxes. They took great care of all of my things during my move, and they made it as stress-free as possible. They'll do the same for you. They have a brand new state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they care about helping this community any way they can. If you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. 615-640-1219. Their website is nashvillemoving.org/radio. They'll give you 5% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you. My official movers. Stillman and Company, phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I see a text under the text line saying that in Jackson there, they got slammed by the storms. Didn't last long, but the winds were heavy.
Cute.
Apparently a nasty storm. I'm not one of these guys who like does weather talk on the radio, but I did hear that, the horn.
What was it? One more time? Yes, that one.
I did hear that, and I do feel like it's all going down right behind me right now, where all the guys with credentials are like, let's mark the official time at 5:37 to say what time, 1 hour or whatever. And so, I don't know. It was a beautiful day out here, and now it is no longer, but that's okay. Boy, what a good show today. I mean, TD today, and Terry Crispy.
Terry was spicy.
After it today. Boy,
Crispy. He's spicy.
Crispy was on one today coming at me. But it is time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So I made an executive decision on Caroline's.
Okay.
Starting next week, we will do each month as a best of three.
Okay.
And we will keep track of this, and I'm putting you in charge of that, so you cannot cheat it.
Okay.
But we will do a best of three.
I'm gonna
cheat it. And every month, we'll have a winner. In the best of three, there has to be a challenge. So we have to decide what the challenge should be. But there will be a Caroline's challenge.
Interesting.
And we will see how that goes. And I literally just decided that 5 minutes ago.
Perfect. I love it. I'm up for the challenge. And while we're talking about it, I would just like to point out that a couple days ago, you were like, oh, don't get carried away with the pitching with the Brewers and the Phillies. You were rocking with the Brewers, and the Phillies did win.
I did. Not only did the Phillies win, they also turned in the wrong lineup card. And
did
a
they?
Guy, yeah, a guy that was supposed to be active was not active for that game and could not pitch.
Ooh, and they still won. So let it be known. Jared Stillman knows nothing about baseball.
Joe Girardi's incompetent, but not Caroline Fenton.
Nope,
what's out
not
there?
Me, what, not on my watch.
What do we have today?
Not. Today we've got some hockey. The Chicago travels to Carolina, and I'm rocking with the Hurricanes -1.5. I mean, the Blackhawks season is over. The Hurricanes are 7-0-3 in their last 10, and they've won 5 in a row with 4 of those wins by more than one goal. They've won 20 and lost 3 on home ice this season. I mean, if you bet against the Hurricanes, you want to lose money.
The Carolina Hurricanes are the best team in hockey right now. And I would argue this. You know, if they were to play, say the Predators were to play Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs, we would look at that and we would say, hey, that's the defending cup champions, and they have done this and they have done that. And we did this in 2017 when they played Chicago, and it was like, yo, they've won 3 cups. Like, they've won 3 cups. And look, Carolina is every bit the part of a contender. And I don't want to compare them to the Buffalo Bills last year because we know how the Bills season ended. But it was basically from October until that AFC Championship game, you couldn't stop the Bills. And you looked at Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, and you were like, yo, this team is legit. And that's how I feel about the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, they are freaking good.
And they're playing for a President's Trophy. You know, people at the end of the season like to say, okay, no, your spot in the playoffs is secured. You know, you can kind of like get off the gas a little bit.
But here's where it's different than normal years is that they will recede once they get to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you win the President's Trophy this year, the President's Trophy is a big deal because if you win it and you get to that Final Four, one of these teams is going to pull it out of their rear end. You know,
yeah.
Like everything that everybody hopes the Predators do, where it's like, hey, anything can happen in the playoffs, baby. I think that one of these teams in one of these divisions is going to do it. You're going to get that team. So if the Islanders pull it out of their rear end and come out of the East, and then you've got the President's Trophy, you get the lowest seeded team. And I think that is a big deal for those. I don't know if they're going to call them conference finals or whatever the hell they're going to call them. But once you get to that Final Four, they're going to recede, and I think that's a big deal. I'm going to take Carolina, by the way, money line right here.
Money line?
Money line, yeah.
I'm taking the -1.5. They're going to win. They're going to win. Bruins and Rangers tonight. I mean, whatever is going on in New York, Rangers, not Islanders, it's a dumpster fire. They fired their president and their GM yesterday. I mean, we saw what happened with the Caps and the Rangers. They're just kind of off their rockers.
Got fined $250,000.
Got fined $250,000. They're not making the playoffs. I'm taking the Bruins money line. The Bruins are 4-2 in 6 meetings with the Rangers this season. Bruins are 9-3 in their last 12. They have your favorite, Taylor Hall. I know how much you love him. And they're also in third place in the East Division. If they're within reach of climbing in the second, they get home ice in the playoffs. So they are playing for something. The Rangers are just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I'm taking the Bruins money line. You can take the Bruins -1.5 +125, but I'm just going to take the safe bet.
Okay, you got to do the Vegas thing from now on because you're picking games that are too easy to pick one way or another. I'm going to take the Bruins, too. But it's got to be like those 50-50 games so I can at least have a chance at picking the other side. I mean, this
okay.
Right here, I mean, like, I mean.
You can take the Rangers.
The Chicago Blackhawks and the Carolina Hurricanes. Like, we're
always trying to make the people some money.
We're always going to pick the same side in
last
that one.
Last time I gave you a 50-50, you lost. So I'm just looking out for you.
No, I'm
giving, doing what's in your best interest.
You're giving you the best chance to win here is
well, yeah.
by making it controversial. Also giving her the worst chance because I'm pretty good at this stuff. But I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take the Bruins here. The Bruins are playing for something. I know that they're in the playoffs, but again, that seeding, you know, who knows? The Rangers, I mean, just, you know, emotionally, I feel like the Rangers have kind of been through the gauntlet here. So I think they're kind of, I don't say they're over it, but I mean, look, when you're done at this point in the year, you're kind of over it.
Right. It's looking kind of scary.
Oh, it got dark in a hurry around here.
Yeah.
It got dark in a hurry. But anywho, that's not, hey, I am not a weatherman. I am not Leland Statham. Somebody call Leland and ask Leland what we're doing. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to get in, I guess you can here on Stillman and Company. Coming up next, though, we'll have the worst take of the day, and we will try, excuse me, we will try to not get blown away. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company, it's ESPN, 1025 The Game. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. I did notice on Caroline Fenton's Instagram yesterday that somebody asked her if Jared was cool in real life.
And I responded, he's the best.
He did. Now, somebody else named Caroline commented and said that it was debatable. And I have now decided who's going to get my world's best Caroline coffee mug.
And she does. She raises a valid point. I mean, I appreciate her skepticism.
Now, no Caroline may get the world's best Caroline coffee mug.
She keeps you in check. There's got to be one Caroline. Whenever it's not 2-6, another Caroline's got to keep you in check.
Yeah, there's something about that. So I'd say right now, I mean, I've never seen anything like this. And I've seen storms before. I've never watched the storm clouds gather like it has happened to us here at Arrington. Now, I will say this. Again, we are out at the Simmons Bank Open for the Snedeker Foundation. And, again, one of us was proactive enough this morning to text into the text chain about the weather.
Okay, I just checked the weather for myself, and I'm the one who brought a jacket because I thought it was going to be a little bit chilly. And the other one is over here complaining about how they're going to have to walk back to their car with no jacket.
Oh, I'm going inside. I'm riding it out. I'm going inside. I'm waiting for the storm to end, and then I'm going outside. I'm going inside. I'm sure they have some food in there. I'm going inside, then come outside. Also, one of us was proactive enough to look at Darren Donick and Chase hosting the radio show outside the overhang underneath and said, hey, you know, let's move it under. So I'm just saying.
Well, one of us was busy setting up streams and making you look good on your Zoom. I can't do everything. I'm not Superwoman.
First of all, this face looks good on the Zoom because this face looks good on the Zoom. But
no.
It is
no.
Time now for our worst take of the day.
The worst take on today's show as presented by Caroline Fenton.
I think that one just won it. But I have to call out our friend Caleb. Caleb, thank you so much for listening and watching. We appreciate you so much. But he texted in and said that Duchesne is the highest skilled player on the Predators.
I'm not going to totally rule that out.
Roman Josi, Eli Tolvanen, Juuse Saros.
Well, Juuse Saros is a goalie. So
I know, but if you're talking about the most skilled player.
But nobody says that a goalie is skilled.
Well, he's skilled at his position.
Yeah, but like nobody's referring to skilled as far as goalie is concerned. Dude, it looks like a Skittles commercial in front of us without the Skittles coming out of the clouds.
What does that mean?
Anywho, well, I guess you're too young for that. But I would say this, you know, again, you know, in terms of just pure skill. Philip Forsberg went to an All-Star game, I think, in 2015. Mm-hmm. Duchesne went to one in 2016. Johansson, I think, was the All-Star game MVP in 2014, you know. Those guys are kind of all there. Like, those guys are kind of all, I think we can get rid of all the other guys, right? Like, the Yarncroaks and the Arvidsons and the Hollas and those guys certainly don't. Yeah, like, those guys certainly don't. I mean, Tanner
Janot. They're wonderful, but I'm not going to call them the highest skilled player on the team.
I think that Matt Duchesne, in terms of pure talent, is a lot closer to that than you think.
He's closer to that than the Hollas and the Trenins and the Yarncroaks.
I mean, I don't think there's as big of a gap. Now, I'm going to say Yossi's probably the most skilled player. Now, he's not a forward. And when most people talk about skill, they usually think about the forward
position. I would lean Forsberg, personally.
I think I probably would too, but...
But Duchesne, I mean, you're right. He is might be the most one of the more dynamic and electric players on the team when he has some space.
I think that's what probably bothers all of us the most about all of this is the fact that we know in our hearts that he doesn't stink. And, you know, with Ryan Johansson, there's been a big question about, you know, did he get the money? And once he got the money, was that it? And then he was good to go. And, you know, I think a lot of people were voting yes on that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, but I certainly wasn't far away. You know, with Duchesne, I think about, like, I don't think Duchesne got, I think Duchesne puts too much pressure on himself. If I had to be completely honest with you, I wish he.
I can't tell if you like Duchesne or not.
Well, I mean, I feel like I just call it like it is. And Duchesne, you know, has completely underperformed. I mean, what he's done is been an unmitigated disaster.
So would you not bench him if he's underperforming?
I can't bench him. That's like, that goes back to, you know, the whole argument that we had on the show for forever was once the Titans traded for Ryan Tannehill, the discussion about Mariota and Tannehill was at some level real. And I remember, you know, that day trying to stir it up because John Robinson had a press conference and I talked to Ryan, I talked to Marcus. Marcus is the starter. Ryan is the backup. And, you know, the radio host tried to say, well, you know, do you think Tannehill could be the guy? You know, do you think Tannehill could? And, that was shot down by my co-host at the time very, very quickly. And, you know, then there was always some talk in training camp about Tannehill trying to win the job over Mariota. Tannehill was the one that had to come out and say, no, there's no competition. I'm the backup to kind of stop it. But the one thing that we were constantly told was if you make that move, if at any point you make the move to Tannehill, you're done with Mariota and there's no going back. And I go to this with Duchesne of there's more of a gray area here. He will play Saturday night. He will play. You know, how does he feel personally about it? I don't know. But I would not have run the risk given kind of the, you know, the way that he is so entrenched into the roster. And I just look at it like if I'm the coach or I'm the Predators, I can't say, well, they're just not playing well. I have to get those two guys, him and Johansson, I have to get them to play well. Because there's no way I'm beating Carolina if those guys don't play well. There's no way I'm beating Tampa Bay if those guys don't play well. My team was constructed for those guys to play well. Now, whether or not you want to get mad about the fact that they chased after Matt Duchesne for all those years and they've gotten nothing in return because of it, that, I think, is a totally valid argument you can have. But that's different than whether or not you would have benched him. So no, I would not have benched him last night. I would argue that Matt Duchesne is... there's a big story. It's more than just playing hard tonight for tonight's game when it comes to a player that's got that kind of baggage. By the way, celebrate mom this Mother's Day with a gift of a 1.5-hour picnic-themed style photo shoot with Mackenzie Lee Photography at Centennial Park. Picnic setup, sips, and snacks will be included. Not only will you enjoy a fun, beautiful park picnic with your family, but you'll also receive 60-plus digital photos to remember it. Go to the GameNashville.com contest page and enter today.
That's
Caroline?
Cute.
That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow for a Fireball Hot Take Friday at 2 o'clock. ESPN Radio, Spain and Fitz. Coming up next, it's Stillman and Company. We'll see you tomorrow.